Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday. It is a TD Thursday. I am out here at beautiful Hermitage Golf Course for the third annual Pella Putt for Pink Golf Tournament, benefiting Breast Cancer Recovery in Action. Teron Davenport is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. TD, how's it going? Thanks for coming in. I saw you made your final regular season trip up to New York this past Tuesday.
Yeah, everything is going well, man. The trip was great. Got to see a home run derby, and the Mets came up on top of it, so that was cool. I enjoyed it, man. Early morning flight back yesterday and got right into work. This is what you got to do.
Yeah, we got to – I mean, the season's coming down to the wire. Mets right in the thick of the wild card race. My Tigers are just a few games away from blowing a 14.5 game division lead. So, you know, lots of great stuff going on in the baseball world.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a lot of football today. Titans getting ready for the Colts. Also, as always, your chance to talk to TD coming up at 10 o'clock. So get your questions in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any questions for TD on the Titans, anything, we would love to hear from you. TD, first, thoughts on the game on Sunday, another game kind of similar to the Broncos where the Titans are in it, leading at halftime, leading late in the third quarter, but the wheels kind of fell off down the stretch. Rams showed they're the more talented team and pull away for a 14-point win.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really what it comes down to. They showed that they were the more talented team, and I think when you look at as things got later in the game, it just started to pull away, and I'm not sure exactly. I got to double-check the time of possession, but – even if it wasn't really lopsided, at least in that later part of the games where the offense is struggling and they get out there and they don't do anything and then the defense has to get right back out, it wears them down. And I think that's really what happened. You saw that specifically with Snead. You saw him get a little bit tired. Not tired, but just not had the same effect later in the game as he did earlier as consistently. So you have that. You have, again, the lack of tackling. You know, Puka Nacua looked like Herschel Walker, you know, back in the day, the way he had that 45-yard run. You know, he's running through tackles. So those are all things you can't have. And, I mean, it was bad. I will say this. I was disgusted by that block in the back or the blindside block that was called on Cedric Gray. I didn't think it had any relevance to the play. I didn't think that it was clear. So the Titans and the penalties continue to be an issue, whether it's them, you know, earning it, which they did on most of them, and then others where it's just like, come on, man, like you can't really be calling it.
Right. It's by the book, yes, that is a penalty. You're not allowed to block going back towards your own goal line. But I agree with you that I think Chim Dike scores on that play, whether that block is made or not. So it didn't have much of an impact on the play, and it's disappointing, especially because it would have been the first punt return for a touchdown in 13 years for the Titans. It's
yeah.
Like they can't even catch a break when they finally do one all the way to the end zone.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I tell you what, Chim DK, the special teams group, they're very much aware of that. I'll definitely tell you. If you check out Titans Extra on Thursday nights, you know, we do a two-minute interview with a Titans player. And I did one with DK this week, and he definitely talked about that. So it's something they're aware of, and it's just a mess that has been that long. Hopefully, you know, with the way the improvement has come with John Fossil and this new group back there, they'll be able to end that streak at some point soon. I wouldn't mind seeing a return for a touchdown, man. That's a pretty cool play.
Yeah, it would be nice to finally get one. 2020, I believe, is the last time they scored a touchdown and a return, and that was A.J. Brown on the onside kick.
Yep.
Before that, it was Darius Jennings week one in 2018, and then before that, it was all the way back to 2013. So Titans looking for some explosive plays in the return game. Already have seen Chim with a 71-yard kick return and then the punt return touchdown that was called back on Sunday. You mentioned Legarius Sneed, and I thought it was good, even though you mentioned maybe ran out of gas a little bit at the end, facing off with Davante Adams for most of the day. It was good to see him play 92% of the snaps, and he was productive. I think the two goal line stands that the Titans had that really kept them in the game, second quarter, third quarter, L'Jarius Sneed made two plays to prevent touchdowns and force the Rams to kick a field goal.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, when you're doing that, you're doing your job. And I like the play he had in the corner of the end zone. You know, it was one-on-one, and he was able to, you know, knock the ball down and keep a touchdown from happening. So, look, it wasn't the lockdown performance that, you know, people have come to expect from L'Jarius Sneed, given how well he's played in the past. But, you know, he's working his way back. It was a solid performance. I think it's one to build upon, but it's not one to rest your laurels on, right? You know, you got to understand, hey, it was good, but it could get better, and I have to make it better. And I think that's the approach that Sneed is going to have. We'll talk to him Friday. He typically talks on Fridays, so we'll see what he has to say about that.
For sure. I mean, good to see him out there, and he did look more like the guy the Titans thought they traded for when they made the move with Kansas City, but obviously has to be more consistent, has to be able to finish off those games strong. It'll be a little easier not having to face Davante Adams and Puka Nacua for an entire game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Last thing on Sunday's game, TD, as we just kind of recap everything that happened in Week 2. A lot of discourse about Cam Ward's ridiculous first touchdown throw. And yesterday, Zaire Franklin was talking in the locker room for the Colts, saying he hopes Cam Ward does it again. It was a bad decision, and they'll take advantage if he does something like that again. I think the discourse is funny because, yes, was it a good decision? Absolutely not. Like, that is not something you want to see your quarterback do consistently. But it is super impressive, just the arm talent, moving as fast as he was towards the right sideline and towards the line of scrimmage to just flick it back the other way where Elikai Emaner found some space for a touchdown. Like, you can question the decision, but you can't question the arm talent from Cam Ward
there. Right, you can't question the result. And I think, listen, when you have certain talents, these are the things that happen, right? You say, oh, well, you should never do that. But, you know, if you tell him never to do that and he never does it, you don't have that touchdown. You know what I mean?
For
so
sure.
It's one of those things where you got to take the good with the bad, and you have to understand that, hey, you know what? This could have a bad result one time, but, hey, this time it had an awesome result. And these are the things that he does. Like, that's the Cam Ward experience, right? He specializes in, above the regular things that he does, in being able to find that second play within the play and making sure that because of the time that they spend together in the building – that they know exactly where to go in those scramble situations. Elikai Emaner said it. He said, look, man, like, I know from watching film with Cam, I know if he's running one way, I know to run the other way to find the open area, and he's gonna find me. And that's really exactly what that play was. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Again, it's something that you don't just ask anybody to do it, but you understand when it's him doing it, it's okay.
Yeah, you don't want to coach those things out of Cam Ward, because that is what made him the number one pick, is the ability to make those off-schedule plays
right,
that a lot of guys can't make. But it also is probably a conversation with Brian Callahan and that offensive staff of like, hey, Cam, you got to pick and choose your spots here. This isn't something that you can be trying to do consistently, because you're probably right that 8 times out of 10, you try and make a throw like that, the result's not going to end the way it did. But if he can pick and choose his spots and find the right times to make those plays when you need it, and I would say that is an example. You know, third and goal, or it was 3rd and 8 towards the red zone, and you haven't been able to cash in for a touchdown yet. I don't blame Cam Ward for trying to make that play, but it's not something that you want to see him doing 5 times a game. It's got to be something that he chooses to do when his team absolutely needs a play.
That is the only touchdown this team has scored through 8 quarters, by the way. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, it took a play like that, an unorthodox play like that, it took that to make it happen. But, I mean, look, you know, it's no different than I remember back in the day, people always used to get on Michael Irvin because he caught the ball with his body. Well, you know what? What, 3 championships? Never had led the league in receptions, but always considered to be one of the best receivers. I would say that worked out just fine, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So, that's it, man. Like, sometimes you got to just let guys play their game the way they play it.
It is just funny, though, because Cam Ward couple of plays he's made is exactly what Will Levis was doing last year, but the difference is he's done it successfully so far. you just hope that that doesn't come back to bite him at some point. I could go without the flailing, falling flick pass, the PTSD from last year, even though he completed to Gunnar Helm.
Yeah.
I could go without that, I think, from Cam Ward.
Well, I think in that situation, he and Helm didn't have a defender around him, too. So
right. No, he was pretty wide open.
Yeah. But you're right, though. It did give, like, oh, boy, there's got to be somebody. Knowing this team, somebody's near there. But fortunately for them, it wasn't.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, your chance to talk to TD coming up at 10 o'clock. If you have questions for Teron Davenport, you can text, you can call, and we will get to those again at the top of the hour. Also, Andrew Allegretta going to join the show for his weekly visit to talk Vanderbilt football at 11. But I want to talk about the offensive line here in this first hour, TD. It's been a tough go of it so far for this group, 11 sacks through two games. How can it improve? Is there a big reason for long-term concern with this group, especially with some of the high-priced free agents that they brought in? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I am out here at beautiful Hermitage Golf Course on this Thursday morning for the third annual Pella Putt for Pink Golf Tournament. TD back at the studios. More coming up here on this Thursday edition of Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. That was Brian Callahan yesterday talking about some of the issues with the Titans' offensive line so far this year. 11 sacks given up. Cam Ward has not had much time back there in his first two starts of his NFL career. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday morning. Titans getting ready for their Week 3 matchup with the Indianapolis Colts. And TD, the offensive line, once again, even though we thought heading into this year it was going to be much improved with the investment that they've made there, the injury to J.C. Latham and some of the struggles from the veteran guys on that line have led to struggles once again on the offensive front. How do you feel about this group moving forward? Do you think that maybe this is just some growing pains with some of the additions that they've had there and they're going to figure it out? Or do you think there's some long-term trouble ahead for this group of five?
No, I mean, there's trouble. I think until J.C. Latham could get healthy, that's going to continue to be a situation. The first sack of the game, the Rams, they rushed four. They rushed four. Now, mind you, remember, you got five to protect. They rushed four. And Byron Young just whooped. He whooped John Ajukwu and got the sack. You know, yep. And then you look at the second one. They just did a good job of collapsing the pocket. Maybe Ward could have gotten the ball out a little bit sooner, but which is something that he admitted. Because the thing we also have to remember, sacks aren't always on the offensive line exclusively. And we tend to blame them for things that may not always be their fault. Yeah, sure, they could protect a little bit longer, but the quarterback has to get the ball out quicker. And along with that, there are times where separation isn't happening, so he can't get the ball out. So there's just, it's a mixture of things. I love what Brian Callahan said when he pointed to it being an offensive problem, not just an offensive line problem, but an offensive problem. You know what I mean? Because, like, you look at the third sack, Cam probably could have got the ball out to Chig on a seam route. You know what I mean? Yeah. So there are times where it's various people's faults.
No, and you look at I think it was Willie Donick who tweeted out the still shot right before the strip sack that really turned the game on its head. It was a close game up until that point, and Chig is wide open on a drag, and Cam Ward was hunting for something maybe a little bit deeper and ends up getting sacked, loses the ball, and a couple plays later, it's an 11-point game, and you're pretty much out of it. So it isn't just exclusively on the offensive line, but you look at it's not even the young guys, too. I know J.C. Latham's been hurt, and he wasn't at his best when he was on the field in Denver, but Peter Skoronski's been good. It's been your veteran guys who, I mean, Dan Moore's getting paid $80 million. Lloyd Cushenberry is, what, $60, $70 million at center? And those guys haven't been good enough so far through a couple of games, and that is a little bit concerning. I'm hoping that it's something where these five just need more reps together and can start to mesh as the season goes along. But from what we've seen from Dan Moore so far, it is concerning that, yeah, he's faced really good edge rushers through the first couple of weeks, but he's gotten beat way more times than he's been able to hold up on that left side.
Yeah, right. And I think that's the thing. I was actually on with the Colts not radio station, but their website. And that's one of the things I said. It's like, okay, you're paying this man a lot of money, right? And I understand the guys on the other side get paid money too, but
yeah.
A part of paying him a lot of money is to make sure that that position doesn't have its lunch taken, you know what I mean, every day of school. And that's what's kind of happening. Maybe not every day of school, but frequently throughout the week. And that's something that they have to get that fixed. And I think, you know, when you look at the big contract, it's understandable, right? The old adage, the way the saying goes is, you know, if you want to live in a certain neighborhood, it costs a premium, right?
Yeah.
And I think if you want to sign an offensive lineman that's even solid, it costs a premium, and that's what the Titans are experiencing.
Yeah, and I understand, like, he's faced Nick Benito and Jared Verse and Byron Young. Like, it's not like he's facing bad players out there and getting beat. Not that Quiddy Pay is some kind of scrub, but do you think that maybe this could be a tune-up week for Dan Moore, where maybe he starts to get right when he's not facing one of those guys who's considered an elite edge rusher in this league?
Well, yeah, it's definitely an opportunity for that. And I think when you look at this, right, this is a team, they have 3 sacks as a group.
Yeah.
Now, the bad news is they do put DeForest Buckner outside sometimes. So rest assured, he'll probably get his opportunities to rush against these tackles. I mean, if
yeah.
I'm a DN or a D lineman, period, a pass rusher, period, I'm saying, hey, I need 1 or 2 shots against both of these guys. You know what I mean? So I would imagine that's going to happen.
With J.C. Latham, I know Brian Callahan said they're going to monitor him this week. He did not practice yesterday. Just your thoughts, TD. Do you think there's hope that he's out there this week? Because I feel like that could end up being the difference in this game with what we've seen from the replacement level players at right tackle. Like, getting J.C. Latham out there, and I know you don't want to risk him flaring that up and maybe you lose a month of J.C. Latham, but it just feels so important to this offense progression to have him back out on the field.
Yeah, it's important to the offense without a doubt, but I think I'd be surprised. I don't think he plays this week.
Me
too. Just period. I don't think, and especially, you know, knowing what's coming up next. I mean, Daniil Hunter, Will Anderson. you remember what they did the last time this team played them. So
yes, sir.
I think they're going to try to make it through this week, whether it's Ajukwu, Udo. They'll have to figure it out. But, you know, they're going to try to make it through this week. And here's the thing. You look at this Colts team, they're not super solid on the outside as far as the corners are concerned. Like, Xavien Howard, he's playing his first consistent football for the first time in, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
Right? And Shavarius Ward is a solid corner. He's coming off a concussion. You know, he missed last week. So I say all that to say, you could go max protection, right? And you could have less men in routes. And with the understanding that your guys are going to win on the outside. And I asked Alec Iremanner about that, and he flashed a big smile, and he's excited about it. Cam Ward, you know, I asked him about it as well, and he's like, hey, I mean, look, I expect our guys to beat their guys, you know, and that's really what it comes down to. And Brian Callahan basically said that if there's one-on-one coverage and, you know, there's not a safety over top, there's, in essence, a green light to take that shot. And Cam Ward really loved that.
Yeah, and if they can protect him, I'd like to see more chances downfield. We've talked about it all week that Cam Ward so far has only thrown the ball beyond 20 yards downfield 3 times, and maybe this is the opportunity to get a couple of those shot plays going. And, you know, Alec Iremanner's made a couple of plays. I'd like to see Calvin Ridley get more involved. And, they got him on those little crossers when Cam Ward was on the run on Sunday against the Rams. But I'd like to see Calvin Ridley get deep a couple times, but obviously that starts with being able to protect Cam Ward.
No doubt about it. It starts with being able to protect Cam Ward. And I think it also involves scheming, right? And you know, we kind of talked a little bit about the importance of getting Calvin Ridley involved early. He's an emotional receiver. He's one of those guys where, you know, you get him involved early and the results are going to come. So why not get him on the move, line him up at number one, send him in motion and have him, you know, motion right into that slant, you know what I mean, and just dump it off to him, let him catch it and run and those types of things. So I think there's a lot that could be done protection-wise, but also play-calling-wise.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts, questions, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, your chance to talk to TD is coming up at the top of the hour. If you have questions, you can text or call. Again, doesn't have to be Titans, can be anything, and we will get to those at 10 o'clock. Later today on ESPN, 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on Louisville with the first pitch set for 5:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN, 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Jake Lyman out here at beautiful Hermitage Golf Course for the third annual Pella Putt for Pink Golf Tournament, joined by Teron Davenport and Parker Kelly. More coming next man up. 102. This Sunday, the NFL game of the week on 94.9 The Fan is the Cowboys versus the Bears at 3:25. NFL game of the week is brought to you by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Massaro in 12 South. There you go, TD. Meet the Mets.
Yeah, might not be someone you want to meet right now, but hey, we the love affair remains.
Yeah, I mean, and again, we've talked about this before, TD, that in baseball, it's just you got to get in. That's kind of where both of us are with our teams right now. The Tigers have now lost 5 out of 6 and are only 4.5 games up in the division. Mets now 1.5 up on the Diamondbacks, who've made a run in the last couple of months. So going to be a fun final 10 games of the season, and hopefully Both our teams in the blue and orange are in the playoffs in a couple of weeks. Back to the offensive line here, TD. We mentioned J.C. Latham. I think both of us are on the same page that likely not going to see him for the second straight week. There's a chance, and they said they'll monitor him, but him not practicing yesterday and, you know, the way Brian Callahan's talked about that injury, I don't think we're going to see him on Sunday. But there's been a hesitancy from the coaching staff to put Blake Hantz at right tackle. Is that something that you would consider, is moving him and bumping him outside to play right tackle, considering the alternatives are Ole Udo and John Ajukwu?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, they got to get something out there. Blake Hantz, I believe they consider him to be more of an inside guy, so you probably won't see that. I just wonder, you know, Brandon Crenshaw Dixon, he's a guy they're going to work more developmental-wise. But I wonder, and it sounds crazy, I know, but I really honestly would encourage them to get Jalen Duncan on the practice squad. And get him on the practice squad, make him active for one of the games, and see what he could do, right? Because I think the Jalen Duncan that was at this past training camp is different from the one at the previous two. And I know you're scarred and you don't want to trust him. But at this point, what else? What's a better option? I don't think there are too many better options, frankly.
Yeah, it's just so frustrating to be back in this spot. And I know injuries happen, and like it's random, and it's tough that J.C. Latham is hurt, but to be back in this spot where you're debating who's better between John Ajukwu and Jalen Duncan again after last year is just, it's frustrating, because the whole point of this offseason, and Mike Borgonzi like went out and spent $80 million on a tackle, so we wouldn't be having this conversation. And not only has that $80 million man not been very good, you've also got the same guys that you were rotating in and out at right tackle back there again. I mean, I know Brandon Crenshaw Dixon, he's an undrafted rookie, and they did just waive him, and he's back on the practice squad. But, like, if J.C. Latham is out for a significant amount of time, I just wonder what's the harm of putting him out there at some point? Because can it really be worse than what we've seen from Ajukwu and Jalen Duncan over the last couple of seasons?
Well, and that's the thing I'm saying. That's why I believe it would be wise. So they look at him as more developmental guy. But,
right,
you know, sure, that aspect that you just – the viewpoint that you just took, like, can it be worse? I think that's what you got to apply to Jalen Duncan. You know what I mean? Can it really be worse? Give him a shot and see what he could do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good news that J.C. Latham wasn't put on IR last week. Like, that is definitely good news, because that means he is expected to be back at the latest by the Cardinals game, right? Like, if they knew he was going to miss 4 games, they would have put him on IR. So it is good news that he is still on the active roster, and you hope that maybe he's back next week for Houston. But if it does end up Like, they put him back out there and he has a setback and you have to go back to one of these backups. I wouldn't hate putting Brandon Crenshaw Dixon out there, because again, it's like, you watch John Ajukwu on that first drive on Sunday, and after, first of all, a first down gets taken away by an illegal man downfield from Kevin Zeitler, false start, and then Ajukwu gets burned off the side and you get a sack and the drive's over just like that. It has to be better on that side of the line. And I understand tackle depth is hard to find, right? Like, yeah. That is not an easy position to just go pick someone up off the street and have them play competent football. But if you really like Brandon Crenshaw Dixon as much as you've said you do, and that was the impression that we got when they kept him on the 53, not once, but twice at the end of camp, I wouldn't hate if J.C. Latham does have to miss a significant amount of time to just give him a shot and see what happens.
Yeah, but I think it keeps going back to, yes, they like him, but they like him as a developmental prospect. Yeah. So, there's still a lot more that has to come with it. They're seeing a raw product. And it's like you see that car that's not in the best shape, but you're like, man, I know if I do this, and this, that thing's going to be running. But I'm not ready to take it out on the strip yet. We're going to keep putting it together to get it out there. I think that's, in essence, where they are with Crenshaw Dixon. So I wouldn't imagine him being active or out there. You never know, but I don't think it's likely.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's like that old meme of doesn't work but could be fun to fix. I think that's kind of what they feel like with a lot of these tackles. But Crenshaw Dixon, obviously younger, and can be a developmental piece. Back to Blake Hance just for a second. The Titans have done this a couple times, and I think they made the right decision with Peter Skoronski keeping him at guard even when the tackles were struggling, of saying, you know what, this is our plan for Peter Skoronski. We're not going to mess up his development just because our tackles aren't very good. But with Blake Hance, when he's already a reserve offensive lineman, yeah, maybe he's better on the interior, but would it hurt to give him a chance at tackle? We saw last year with the Chiefs, like, they moved one of their best interior offensive linemen in Joe Tooney and said, you're going to play left tackle for us because we have no other options. Blake Hance it's not going to hurt the rest of your line by putting him at right tackle. I don't get why that isn't being considered as more of an option.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly why it isn't being considered as more of an option. It is something that, you know, I thought going into last week, that there was a chance that he started. I figured it would be Ajukwu after, you know, Udo on half of his snaps gave up pressures, but I wasn't sure, you know. And I think when you look at what they have going on now, it can't get much worse. And so I would be willing to experiment with some different things, just not with a guy that I'm working to develop. Now, if it's a guy like Hance, you know, that's a different situation.
Yeah, I think that would make more sense than a Brandon Crenshaw Dixon. But at this point, it's just like you got to exhaust your options because it just hasn't been good enough on that right side. And obviously the hope is for the Titans that J.C. Latham is back sooner rather than later. We've seen before, TD, that these offensive lines sometimes take time to gel. And what you see in week one isn't always what that group ends up being.
Yeah.
Do you still have belief that this five, when they're healthy as constructed, can end up being the type of offensive line that was expected? I mean, ESPN had this group ranked as the fifth best offensive line in the league. Not saying they have to be that, but can this group be an above average offensive line once everybody gets healthy and they get a few games under their belt?
Yeah, I think once everybody gets healthy, you know, but again, your quarterback and receivers have to help that. You know, and right now that's not really happening. You know what I mean? So I think when you look at that, it's something that with time can get better, but it's collectively.
Yeah, I think this five, you see they have talent, and obviously a couple of them have proven in the NFL that they can play at this level. It's just you've got to get it all working together. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you on this Thursday. Plenty to get to with TD. I have one more thought on the offensive line to wrap up our number one. And again, we will give you your chance to talk to TD coming up at the top of the hour. So get your questions in. We've already got some good ones on the text line. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any Titans football, NFL, college football, Mets questions for TD, we'll get to all of them coming up in just about 20 minutes. Saturday's college football game of the week is Auburn versus Oklahoma at 2:30 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Yesterday, talking about the Titans' interior offensive line, what he's seen from them, Lloyd Cushenberry coming back from the torn Achilles, Peter Skoronski and Kevin Zeitler at the guard spots, Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. I am out at Hermitage Golf Course. It is a gorgeous day, a little bit hot, but not a cloud in the sky for the third annual Pella Putt for Pink Golf Tournament, benefiting breast cancer recovery in action. Thrilled to be out here. Chase and Big Joe will be out here as well this afternoon. TD back at our Busy Bee Studios. TD, couple final thoughts on the offensive line before we move on. I do want to give some recognition to Peter Skoronski, because I think he has done exactly what everyone hoped from him through 2 weeks, and that is take the next step. Like, Peter Skoronski, he has done a really nice job of showing that he can be a top-tier guard in this league, which is, I mean, when you take a guard 11th overall, that's what you expect him to be. Maybe it's taken a year or two longer than you would have hoped, but it's good to see him establishing himself as one of the better interior offensive linemen across football.
Yeah, he is establishing himself as that, and I think that's a good thing. You need that. The quickest way from one point to the other is a straight line, so if you could defend that and make it harder, then it's good. You just still need the rest of the offensive line to elevate their game, and there's different reasons, right? You look at Lloyd Cushenberry, he's working back from the Achilles, right? I mean, he missed a lot of time. He's not 100% himself. And I think, you know, J.C. Latham is hurt and Kevin Zeitler, you know, that's an area where I think, you know, that's something that could get better. And it does need to get better. And they have to figure those things out because the offensive line is where it starts.
Yeah, I think with Cushenberry and Zeitler, you mentioned the Achilles for Cushenberry is obviously going to be a factor for a while here. I mean, that offensive line is probably one of the positions where it takes a little bit longer to get readjusted on that Achilles, because you do have to anchor on that, and that flexes the Achilles. I'm sure it takes time to trust that. With Kevin Zeitler, I haven't really noticed Zeitler being an issue outside of a couple of uncharacteristic penalties for a guy with his kind of experience and pedigree on that side of the line.
Yeah, I mean, you still need more from Zeitler. You know, he had a couple of bad plays I know that he would like to bring back. So that's something. Look, man, the bottom line, they just have to be better. And yep. I think, you know, that's the biggest thing. As they continue to play together, maybe that'll help. I don't know, but you know, the whole thing is it's not good right now. And that's especially when you're dealing with the tackles.
To wrap up this conversation and kind of bring it all together, it's not good right now. And you have Bill Callahan, who is a great offensive line coach. He has done enough in his career that despite what is happening right now, you can't take anything away from him. He is one of the best offensive line coaches in the league. Why is it not working here is the question. And, you know, injuries are part of it. Personnel is part of it. But you felt like heading into this year that you had the guys that Bill Callahan could work with and turn into a really good unit. And it still hasn't happened. Do you think it's just a matter of time before he gets these guys playing well? Or is it just something where it's not going to work out here and we've just kind of got to be okay with that, I guess?
Yeah, I don't know. If it's, hey, be okay with them not being good, because you never want to look at it that way. There has to be a next step that they could take. And right now, I mean, not having J.C. Latham there is really what the issue is, right? And
yeah.
Obviously, you know, week one, he was out there and they gave up 11 sacks, or 6 sacks, rather, excuse me, 11 in through 2 games. Not good. But again, it goes back to it's not all on the offensive line. And I think, you know, Cam Ward's willingness to accept responsibility from it. You pointed out one of the plays where Chig was open. You know, he saw him there. He didn't throw it. Is that the offensive line or is that the quarterback? You know what I mean? So the problem, this is what the main problem is. there's different reasons on almost every different sack. That's really the biggest problem.
Yeah. And it is an offense problem. Like, I think that's a really good point that you've made. Like, it's not just the offensive line. Has the offensive line been good enough? Absolutely not. But Cam Ward, Brian Callahan had the quote earlier this week of, you know, saying he's a hunter and he wants to hunt for the big plays. He's got to start taking the layups, too. And I know that he said that he's not worried about his completion percentage, and drops have certainly hurt that. But you do have to take what the defense gives you a little bit. And I know he's a gunslinger, and the reason you drafted him is because of the big play ability. That is what made him special, was the ability to make those off-script plays and create something out of nothing. But to be a good quarterback in this league, a big part of it is just taking what's available to you from the defense, and I think he has to be more willing to do that. Not that he can't do it, but he has to be more willing to do it moving forward.
Yeah, and I think that's really what it is. And the willingness to, like you mentioned earlier, he was hunting for plays down the field, and he had one right in front of him. And I asked him specifically about that yesterday, you know, and he admitted to having to – You know, work through the reads and take those check downs underneath, because those are there and it's a profit, right? And if you can make a couple dollars, there's nothing wrong with that, right?
Yep.
You know, you don't always have to hit the home run, to use baseball. Like, you could have some singles that will eventually score a run. And I think that's the thing that he's learning to adjust and understand.
Yeah, and there is a silver lining to what he's done in that area too, is that he isn't forcing the ball to take those shots. It's leading to more sacks because he's not pulling the trigger on those. But so far, no interceptions for Cam Ward. There really hasn't been a throw where you're like, yeah, he really put the ball in harm's way there. But that is leading to more sacks because he's not pulling the trigger on those plays. I think it's a full offense problem, and you need the offensive line to help Cam Ward, but Cam Ward also has to help the offensive line a little bit more. We had Adam from Portland call in, our good friend TD, on Monday, and I was saying about the touchdown pass from Cam Ward that I love to see that. I'd love to see him do just some more regular quarterback things too. And, you know, Adam was not happy about that. But I think that's the biggest thing for Cam Ward's development right now is – you got to start to see him do the easy things, the regular things that you need a quarterback to do in order to help you win football games.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Hey, those, like the touchdown, those are plays that you want. But also, make the plays that are there for you. Make the plays, like the easy plays, those are good too, because they stack up into something big, right? You take those short throws. The DBs, they start biting, right? The safeties start looking for that under stuff, and now you could double move. Or, you know, you have that clear out, and the safety keeps running with the clear out because you got the dig underneath. There's going to be a time where the safety is going to leave the clear out and then go and come down on the dig, and you bombs over Baghdad over top of them, and it's a big play. So you have to – it's setting it up. You know, it's just like the jab – that you use the jab to set up position, you know, for whatever power punch you're going to follow up with. That's just how it works.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey is on the line. Wanted to talk Titans. Trey, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing today? What's up, TD?
What's going on?
Hey, TD, I just want to say, you know, I call in a lot, and we talk about technique and tangible skills and stuff like that. And I just, you know, I know that you're out there every day and everything, and you see how they're operating and stuff like that. But how bad is the technique? And is this something that, you know, as far as you on the last level of this? This is something that's supposed to be taught in, like, peewee, eighth grade. You got grown men out there. We're still talking about technique. TD, how bad is it, and how bad is this team? I love y'all. Y'all have a good day. Thank you.
I always love his outro, that thank you. It's like you're hanging on to it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, technique isn't the issue. I think you see that more like with the O-line to me. That's probably the position where technique is and obviously quarterback, but I mean you have guys like Ward that could, hey, you don't have to step into every throw. So sometimes you know the technique isn't right, but the result still comes. But I think when you look at the offensive line, you know, there are times where just getting exploding off the ball into your drop, like that doesn't have, you look at that first sack, that's what happened to Ajuku. Like he didn't, it looked like he didn't get back into his drop quick enough, and Byron Young just got up on him and then just, you know, dipped the shoulder and ran around him. So it's not perfect on everyone. I think really offensive line, most of the times when you see a sack, especially like if it's a guy running free at the quarterback, there was some type of breakdown in technique. And it's something that they work on. I mean, when we were able to watch full practice, and even during individual period, like Bill Callahan, he has his old – I call it Callywood. You know what I mean? He has his own corner over there with Olga and Bertha. He has the five-man sled. He has ropes. He has bungees. The dude has everything over there. So it's not for – it's not for a lack of effort. You know what I mean? They're focusing on technique, but something isn't always going through and it's not happening consistently.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to text or call. Please do now. It is time to talk to TD. Your chance to talk to Teron Davenport. Ask him any question you may have. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday morning, hour number two, coming up after this. You're on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.